Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you all on this blessed Sunday. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. And once again, grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who has given me opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ again with you. Let us go into prayer before we go into the message today. Let us pray. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name that we have been given another opportunity to go into the Word of God today. We're grateful, Lord, that you have put us in a position to petition you for the presence of your Spirit and from the releasing that comes from your Spirit of revelation, knowledge, and understanding. Dear Lord, I pray that you will word my mouth today to rightly divide your word to those who are tuned in, no matter what part of the world they're listening at. And so, Lord, in the name of Jesus, let them sense the presence of your Spirit, power of the Holy Ghost, in Jesus' almighty name. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. I want to welcome all of you who are listening to the broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to this broadcast at. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. This is Brother Nate, glory be to God, of the Church of Christ with the Elijah Message. Glory be to God. I want to say to those of you who are first-time listeners, tonight I'm doing part two of a lesson. And I want to say to those of you that are first-time listeners, not only am I coming with scriptures from the Bible that no doubt the majority of you know, but I will be naming scriptures from two other books that goes with the Bible that contains the Word of God also, is the Word of the Lord and the Record of Nephi. If you are listening to me on this page where there's a picture, a little picture of a Bible on the right-hand side, you should be able to click on that and it come to episodes. And I will ask you to click on the episode and go back to listen to part one. If you are listening to me on the page where you just see the God's Word to Man logo sign, if I'm not mistaken, I think you can click on that and go to the episodes and listen to part one. And the reason why I said it, because in part one, I do point you to past broadcasts that you can listen to on Blog Talk Radio, because the beautiful thing about Blog Talk Radio is that it records our past broadcasts. And I do tell you in part one where you can go and listen to the broadcasts on the Record of Nephi and the Word of the Lord. Amen. So I wanted to mention that to you guys who are first-time listeners today, because you're going to hear me mention I'm going to come with a scripture from Record of Nephi, or I'm going to come with a scripture from the Word of the Lord. And just in case you say, well, what is that? Because I just know the Bible. Well, there are two more books that contain the Word of God also that goes with the Bible. Amen. Glory be to God. So I just want to make that clear. Now, tonight we are on part two of Pestilence in the End Time. And we have been looking at basically not just this lesson, but lessons in front of this one, in front of this, in front of this one, where we've been looking at Jesus answering a threefold question of his disciples in Matthew chapter 24. And they ask, when would these things be? What is the sign of your coming and the sign of the end of the world? And Jesus did not give them a date. And as I said before, many times even us as Christians, some of us as Christians, many times when we ask God a question on a particular thing, we have to be honest, many times we're looking for a date. We're looking for a number many times. And you will come to find out that if you just look in the Bible alone, there were times that the Lord gave numbers, but he did not give numbers all the time. But one of the things he did do was give events to answer the question. And to the threefold question that the disciples asked, When shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? Jesus answered by letting them know that there was going to be particular things that was going to happen in these last days that signify and answer this threefold question that they ask. And so one of them we've been looking at is called pestilence, okay, pestilence. And what we did in part one, we went to define what is a pestilence. And we went to two sources. We went to the Bible Concordance, and we went to the dictionary. And we come to understand that a pestilence is sometimes referred to also as a plague. And we come to understand that a pestilence is a contagious or an infectious epidemic disease. And we also talked about where that, as I said before, from the concordance, especially in Matthew 24 and 7, where we started at, that the word pestilence once again is translated by the original Greek word for there also means that was loimos, means a plague. Okay. And the last thing that I talked to you about, and one thing we looked at under an article, was I talked to you about that in many places in the Bible, from the Old to the New Testament, the word plague and pestilence many times has been used interchangeably, okay? And we and I read to you an article that was written that was called Medical Definition of Pestilence, and we saw that pestilence and plague was defined, both of them similar, as being a contagious, infectious, violent disease, but that a plague was said to, I think, come through the infecting of rodents, where a mosquito or something would bite them and then bite humans and all that and spread like that. But for the most part, plagues and pestilence, especially from the Bible, is used interchangeably. But however, in the Bible, from the Old to the New Testament, there are places where plagues and pestilence is not used interchangeably. In other words, it is not a plague meaning a pestilence or a pestilence meaning a plague. I want to give you some examples of that. For example, and if you have pencil and paper, I ask that you will write this down so you can see it for yourself. For example, starting from the Old Testament, in Hebrews chapter, in Exodus chapter 11, verse 1, hallelujah, the word plague, the original Hebrew word is, if I'm not pronouncing this right, negap, which means a blow. The word plague in Exodus 11 and 1, regular Hebrew word, it means a blow, figuratively, infliction, also by implying a spot, a leprous person, or dress. So that Hebrew word for the word plague is not translated or does not mean pestilence, okay? Now, I'm just running through right here to show you that, like I told you, throughout the Old and New Testament, there are places where pestilence and plague is used interchangeably. But then also there are other places where they're not. So this is what I'm giving you here. Now, once again, in that meaning of the word plague in Exodus 11 and 1, there is no mention of the word pestilence, it meaning pestilence, okay? Then if you go to the book of Numbers, chapter 8, verse 19, the word plague, in that verse, the Hebrew word negef, negef means a trip of the foot, figuratively, an infliction of disease. Now, once again, it does not say that Hebrew word means also pestilence. Okay? Hallelujah. Then if you, when you go to the New Testament, in Mark chapter 5, verse 29, if you look at the word plague, the Greek word for the word plague there is mosktix. And mosktix means figuratively a disease, a whip. That's what it means, that original Greek word that is translated plague. Once again, the word pestilence is not coming out of that. It doesn't say it also means the word pestilence. Amen. And then one more scripture, Revelation chapter 16, verse 21, when it mentions the word plague, the original Greek word for plague in that verse is plague. Plague means a stroke by implicating a wound, figuratively a calamity. But once again, that Greek word there doesn't translate also meaning pestilence, okay? But what we do know, when you look at Matthew 24 and 7, that the word pestilence spoken of in that verse also involves a plague, okay? So when Jesus mentioned pestilence, he's also talking about plagues too, okay? Hallelujah. And so he speaks of pestilence in these end times, okay, which also is dealing with plagues. And understand this, this is something that is to affect the whole world, okay, that affect the whole world. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, we must understand that these pestilences, along with the famines and earthquakes, when you read in Matthew chapter 24, he mentions earthquakes, famines, and he mentioned pestilence. And what we need to understand is that this pestilence, along with these famines and earthquakes, is of the judgments that is to hit this world because of sin and their unbelief towards God. Now, I know that there are some that do not want to hear that, okay? But it's true. You have many people don't want to hear about the judgments, the consequences that people face for sowing sin. But this is what this is coming from, okay? And what we're going to do is we're going to look at some scriptures on this, okay? And the first place I want to go to is one of these books that I mentioned to you earlier that contains the Word of God, too, that goes with the Bible. And it is called the Word of the Lord. And this is the Word of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus sent this word through his angel, the Elijah, that he has spoke of in Matthew 17 and Malachi chapter 4. His messenger that he spoke of in Malachi 3. Matthew chapter 11, that he is sent to come, okay? And he has sent this messenger so far 120 times, okay, dating from 1927 to 1994. And this angel has been bringing words directly from the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And I want to read to you one of these scriptures out of here of what he had to say in here. And I ask that you would give your undivided attention. And for those of you who say, hey, well, man, I don't know about this book, I understand you saying that. And so what the Lord wants me to tell you is that what I'm giving you from this word of the Lord, Jesus said, come to him and ask him about it. Now, it's your decision whether you do it or not. You can say, I ain't got to go to him. That's your decision. But to those who are open to say, hey, I don't know everything, and Jesus the greatest teacher, I look to them to do it. Amen. Now, in the message that is called the 52nd message, Jesus sent out October the 4th, 1941. And I say Jesus sent it out that day, because we must remember that angels don't come on the appointment time of man, and they do not come on their own appointed time. They come at the appointed time of the Lord. So if you ever get a visitation by an angel of the Lord, rest assured he came at the time that he was sent by the Lord, which also means that you don't never have to worry about in your prayer to Christ where you would talk to him about his angel coming. You would never have to worry about him saying, oh, I didn't know that. Amen. So in the scripture here that he said in this message 52, he says, this is the day of judgments. Okay. This is in present tense, not this was the day of judgment. He said, this is the day of judgment, and the famines, pestilences, and plagues will come and have come as I told you. There will be suffering because of the evil one to deceive and hinder. Men will oppose the hand that feeds them. They will mistrust their fellows because of the evil and unrest among them. So according to the word of God here that Jesus sent through his angel, not only famines, but pestilences and plagues is part of the judgments that is to hit here on this earth. Hallelujah. And he said that these famines, plagues, and pestilences will come and have come. Have come more of the present time tense or past, but the will come is more of a future. Amen. And he, once again, sent this word out October the 4th, 1941. And so we even look from the Bible that when Jesus spoke of the famines, the pestilence, and earthquakes, it was meant for generation to generation up to the time that Christ returned. You get that? So not just one, quote, generation, but generation to generation up to the time that Christ returned, okay? Because some people would say, oh, well, they had an earthquake back so-and-so and so-and-so, or they had this back so-and-so and this. No, no, it ain't just confined just back to that time, but it's to go through time until the return of Christ. But yet still, we see here that the pestilences is part of the judgment. Now, once again, I know that there are those who don't like to hear that. And I'm sorry for you that you don't like to hear it, but truth is truth. And I'm not here on this broadcast to compromise the word of God. I have to give it to you as God has given it. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Now, I want to read to you a scripture out of the other book called The Record of the Nephite. The Record of the Nephite. Amen. Because we got to remember when one thing we must remember about the Lord is that the Lord does follow his own protocol. Remember in, what was it, Deuteronomy 17 and 19 and Matthew chapter 18 and 2 Corinthians 13, that Jesus said in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. And so the Bible is a witness of the Lord's dealing with man, the Lord giving his commandments, his statutes, his decrees. The Bible is one witness to that. The word of the Lord that I just read to you is another witness of the Lord dealing with man, his commandments, his word, his decrees. And here, this book I'm about to read is a third witness, the Record of Nephite, of God's dealing with man, his commandments, his decrees, his statutes, his judgments. Okay? Hallelujah. Because the Lord showed that he didn't only just deal with the Jewish believers over there in Jerusalem. He dealt with other believers over here. They was of the house of Israel, of the house of Joseph. And this is where this record of Nephi come for. Now, I want to read a scripture to you. Hallelujah. That God gave to one of his servants over here, and I think this man was named Jacob. And I want to read to you what the Lord gave him, okay? Amen. Because we must remember the Lord can deal with whomsoever he will. But we also must remember he's not going to contradict what he have already spoken, okay? This is why it's the mouth of two or three witnesses, okay? Because if the Lord talked to me about healing and tells me that healing is his will, and he goes to talk to somebody way over there in Antarctica about healing, then if it's the same Lord, then he would tell him the same thing. He's not going to tell me healing is his will and tell someone over there in Antarctica that healing was never his will. If that be the case, that is not the true and living God. So here, Jacob, and I ask that you would give your undivided attention. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And this is what he said. He said, and behold, according to the words of the prophet, the Messiah will set himself again the second time to recover them, his people, or his ancient covenant people especially, you know, especially. Wherefore, he will manifest himself unto them in power and great glory, unto the destruction of their enemies. When that day cometh, when they shall believe in him, and none will he destroy that believeth in him. Now, do you hear that? None the Lord will destroy that believeth in him. So he's going to say, and they that believe not in him. Now, you need to listen to this closely. Shall be destroyed both by fire and by tempest, and by earthquakes, and by bloodsheds, and by pestilence, that's what we're looking at today, and by famine. And they shall know that the Lord is God, the Holy One of Israel. So, once again, we see that this is part of the judgment. And these judgments is to hit those that don't believe in him, or in other words, unbelievers. You get that? See, hallelujah. See, this judgment is not meant for the believers. It's not meant for the believers. This judgment is to hit those who do not believe in him, the unbelievers, okay? Amen. It's part of the judgment. And pestilence is in line as part of the judgment. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, if you have your Bibles, let's go to the book of Exodus, chapter 6. The book of Exodus, chapter 6. The book of Exodus, chapter 6. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Now, hallelujah. Here's the children of Israel, who figuratively today will represent God's people. Okay. And now you have Egypt with Pharaoh, who will represent the unbelievers. Okay. And when you look in Exodus chapter 6, verse 6, hallelujah, this is whole glory. This is what the Lord said unto Moses. He said, wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, the unbelievers, and they of the world, and will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretch out arm and with what? Great judgments. Now, keep that in mind. With great judgments. Go to Exodus chapter 9. Exodus chapter 9. And we're going to look at verse 12 to verse 15. Now, keep that in mind, that the Lord told the children of Israel, he had Moses to tell the children of Israel, I'm going to redeem you out of this bondage through great judgments. Okay, through great judgments. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Now, hallelujah. Exodus chapter 9, verse 12 to 15. The word of God said, and the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had spoken unto Moses. And the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning, and stand before the Pharaoh, and say unto them, thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me. For I will at this time send all my plagues upon thy heart, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth. For now I will stretch out my hand, that I might smite thee and thy people with pestilence, and thou shalt be cut off from the earth. So we see what was in the judgments package, pestilence, which shows us here that pestilence is part of the judgment, which once again, as you see here, God had told Moses to tell Pharaoh, this will happen to you and your people. Because why? They represented the unbelievers. Because remember, if you read this story, you remember when Moses first came to Pharaoh, Pharaoh said, I don't know your God, you know, and you know, which that's true, you know, hallelujah. And see, the Bible tells in the first or second Thessalonians that Jesus will come back with his mighty angels and flaming fire to take vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel. Okay. Amen. So we see here that pestilences is of the judgments. Once again, that is to hit the unbelievers. It is not for the believers. And see, this is why we have some believers teaching and preaching that we'll be gone any day now. Because when you talk about these judgments, they say, oh, it's not for us. We're going to be gone. Where it's true in one statement, they're talking about it's not for believers. But guess what? I wish you would be snatched up any day now. I wish we all was like that, but it's not going to be. You said, well, what do we do? Why does stuff hit? I said, well, you know what? God will stand you in holy places. When you read the story about the children of Israel here, remember the last one, the death angel came with God. Did not God tell him to do something? Did God snatch him up in the air? No, he didn't. But he told them to put the blood of the slaughter animal that they had to for the offering, put it on your doorpost. When the death angel see it, he'll go by it. Okay? That protected them from that death. Okay? And I don't know why it seemed like it's so hard for some of us as believers to think that when the judgments of God go forth on this earth, while we're here on this earth as believers, why God cannot stand us in holy places where it would not touch us. He said in the book of Psalms that, you know, this stuff won't come near your dwelling, okay? Now, I pretty much believe that God means what he say, and he know what he's saying. But sometimes we treat the Lord like he don't. But he knows what he's saying, and he means what he says, amen? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. So pestilence is part of the judgment, okay? Once again, that is to come upon the unbelievers, okay? Now, let's go to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 14. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 14. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 14. Thank you, Jesus. Jeremiah, chapter 14. Thank you, Lord. Jeremiah chapter 14. Hallelujah. Now, this is what the Lord said to his people, ancient covenant people. You say, oh, well, wait a minute. I thought it was just supposed to be. Now, hold on a minute. We'll talk about that in a minute. Hallelujah. We're going to start at verse 10 and go to verse 12. He said, thus saith the Lord unto this people, thus have they loved to wander, they have not refrained their feet, therefore the Lord doth not accept them, He will now remember their iniquity and visit their sins. Then said the Lord unto me, pray not for this people for their good. When they fast, I will not hear their cry. And when they offer burnt offerings and oblation, I will not accept them. But I will consume them by the sword and by the famine, and guess what? And by the pestilence. Do you see that? This judgment, which involves the pestilence, will come upon the people. Amen. Hallelujah. Why? 10 told us. Because of their iniquities and sin. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you see that? Which says that, once again, the judgment is not for believers. But if you're professing to be a believer and you step out and get into that sin and iniquity, then guess what? The judgment will hit you. You understand that? See, sometimes as Christians, some Christians think that because you are supposed to be a professing Christian, that you can just go on and commit sin and you still protected. Well, when we go out of sin, we get from under the protection of the Lord. We got to understand that. And so what sin attracts will hit us too. You get that? See, if Noah, even though God told him, I'm bringing in a flood, and told him how to build an ark, if Noah would have said to himself, well, me and the Lord had a conversation. We talk like that. He don't talk like that to other people. And I really just don't believe I got to build this ark. I believe I don't build it. Since me and him talk, he going to do something else and protect me. Well, guess what? When we'd have been reading by Noah, we'd have been reading, and Noah was told to build an ark, but the flood took him out because he wouldn't build an ark. That would have been the story we were reading. We would have been reading, but wasn't so, because he heard. And he obeyed. Amen. And so pestilence is part of the judgment. But I want you to understand, for those of you that are Christians and listening, if you are still playing in the area of sin and living in sin and committing iniquities, and when this stuff is start hitting, you think that you're going to be protected because you, quote, profess to be a believer, but you're living in this sin and iniquities. Well, the Lord wants you to hear this word. Not so. Because once again, whatever sin attracts, it's going to come to it. So if you're living in sin and iniquity and these pestilence and famines and stuff hit, you're going to attract it to you. And it's, guess what it's going to do? Hit you also. Amen. Now, this is where some, quote, believers, I think, kind of turn the ears off. You know what I'm saying? They like, oh, I don't want to hear that. Because some of them don't even, you got some in the Christian community who don't want others to preach to people about the judgments of God. It's interesting. Because they want you to just paint a one-sided picture. And what I mean is they just want you to talk about how God is love, he's long-suffering, which that's true. But they want you to paint a picture to people like God is somebody you can just manipulate and run over, and he's still just going to do good, per se. Still going to invite you in the pearly gates. That's the impression to me that they want you to present to the people. Like God is just somebody you just can take advantage of. He tells you to repent, and you like, I ain't repenting, do what I want to do, and I still better go in. You understand that? But that ain't the God I serve, and I'm glad I don't serve a God like that. That's a weak God, okay? A God that can get ran over like that easy, man, I'm in trouble. But I thank God that I don't serve that type of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Let's go get one more scripture here. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 5. Ezekiel chapter 5. We're going to look at verse 8 to verse 12. In Ezekiel chapter 5, verses 8 to verse 12. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Ezekiel chapter 5, verses 8 to verse 12. Amen. The word of God said, therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I, even I, am against thee,
and will execute, look at that, judgments in the midst of thee in the sight of the nations. And I will do in thee that which I have not done, and whereunto I will not do any more the like because of all thy abominations. Now, once again, talk to his own people now, his own ancient covenant people. Therefore, the fathers shall eat the sons in the midst of thee, and the sons shall eat their fathers, and I will execute judgments in thee, and the whole remnant of thee will I scatter into all the winds. Wherefore, as I live, say the Lord God, surely, because thou hast defiled my sanctuary with all thy detestable things and with all thy abominations, therefore will I also diminish thee. Neither shall my eyes spare, neither will I have any pity. A third part of thee shall die with what? With the pestilence. See, remember he said he was going to execute judgments, pestilence of the judgment. A third part of thee shall die with the pestilence, and with famine shall they be consumed in the midst of thee. And a third part shall fall by the sword round about thee. And I will scatter a third part into all the winds, and I will draw the sword after them. Now he's talking to his own ancient covenant people who was committing abominations and all that. And he said, you had to find my sanctuary. And you remember in the temple, what they was, I think, had pictures portraying of all these abominable things that they were worshiping. They was worshiping idols and all that stuff in the temple. But look at today. That's, what does that figuratively mean today? The church, in the church building walls, are committing abominable acts in there, worshiping within the walls, okay? Defiling what's supposed to be the sanctuary of God. And thinking. That's why the Lord said, I'm gonna execute this judgment in the midst of the nations. I'm gonna execute this judgment in you in the midst of the nations. That means even the unbelievers is going to see this. Because what I mean is, for example, you got unbelievers out there that know about sin, and they seeing so-called Christians do the stuff, and they wondering like, well, how is it when I do it is wrong, but y'all Christians is doing the same stuff? Well, and especially when many of us is preaching to them that sin brings judgment. So what's going to happen? They're going to see the word of God for real, that sin brings judgment. And it doesn't matter whether you're even proclaiming to be a child of God. It's going to bring the judgment, okay? There's going to be some humiliation, people. Why? Because some people who are professing themselves Christians are out making a, quote, mockery of the Lord Jesus Christ. And understand this, the Lord is merciful, but he's not a fool. And what he does, some are thinking, well, ain't nothing happening to me. I'm getting away with it. That's what you think. The reason why nothing ain't happened, because you're given a chance to repent. When you run out that chance, watch. That judgment is going to hit all of a sudden. It's going to hit all of a sudden, okay? This is why the Lord sends out the message of repentance to man. This is why he even sent it out even to his own people, even to this day and time. When we, his own people, have gotten off on the wrong path and doing some no-nos and stuff we ain't got no business doing, the Lord will send a word of repentance. But if you stretch it and don't do it, just like you stretch a rubber band so far, you keep stretching, soon it's going to snap. Well, if you stretch that time that you've been given to repent till it snaps, the judgment's going to hit. Because we got to realize sin is sin. I don't care if you save or not. If you commit it, it's sin. That's how it is in the sight of God. You don't find in the scripture that God changed what he called a sin just because you're saved. You're not going to find that. But you got some who professing to be Christians act as if it is. So they will go commit the same stuff that the sinner man doing and expect to be, I'm okay. But take the hammer, the axe with the nails, and drive in or beat the sinner man over the head about the stuff that they're doing. And they're doing this the same thing. So pestilence is part of the judgments, okay? You get that? It's of the judgments. Amen. And it is time for the people of God, especially in this nation, to rise up and declare this thing that is covered by the word of God. Because all these abominable acts, the abortions, man, we even had so many million abortions through the years. Abomination. Homosexuality, all kind of homosexual acts. Now you got anywhere from homosexuals to transgenders and bisexuals. My God. All these different kind of categories. Bestiality, okay. People having sex with animals, okay. Marrying animals. It just got ridiculous. And I don't know. People just think that, hey, this is just the life. It's good. I'm going to be good. No, the judgments are hitting. Amen. You look at New Orleans, and I know this is, for some people, it's a sensitive subject, and I don't speak on this just to try to mock or be funny or something like that. This is serious. But remember when Katrina hit, and look what happened. But here's what most of them, you had a very few people that was saying other, but here's what most of them want to talk about. Because the question was, well, was it from God? Is it from, what is it? Well, first of all, you're not talking about the sin that attracts the judgments. That was part of a judgment, people. Because look what goes on in New Orleans. If we don't talk about anything else, we can talk about the Mardi Gras. Man, it'd be so much satanic, you know, stuff going on. Some people say, well, you know, it'd be some Christian there. But that thing is dominated satanic and evil. I remember one time they did news coverage on that one time. Look, and what's so bad about it, the news coverage they did on that I saw probably was, I don't know, it might have been a good minute long. But I can sense the evil. All kinds of voodoos and hoodoos and you-dos go on there, okay? All kinds of stuff like that. And people like think, oh, okay, everything's supposed to go well. It ain't. It ain't and it won't. And people, guess what? We ain't finished seeing all the stuff that's in the hit. We ain't finished seeing that. It's some more stuff and storm, famines, pestilence, these different diseases, the stuff that's coming up. And you know, someone was talking about how these different diseases have made like a comeback. And when they made a comeback, it's like they're stronger than they was before. Yeah, okay. You had the bird flu. You had the swine flu. All these different flus. Now you got Corona, the Delta, the Lambda, the Mu, and now the Omicron. All these different ones. Listen, people, this ain't no game. And man is still depending on his mind to deliver him. Well, it haven't happened. The coronavirus shot, the shot for the COVID don't cure you. I got to admit, even the government told you that. CDC people told you that. That shot don't cure you. That shot does not prevent you from catching COVID. And guess what? If you catch it, that shot don't prevent you from spreading. All they told you is it just slow it down and don't make things so severe. Okay. But you still, if you caught it, you still got it in your system, which means it still can hurt and do damage, okay? And which means that you still can spread it to someone else. But you have people on this earth, because this so-called vaccine was made, they have treated like it's a cure and like it's God. And I'm going to tell you, no pharmaceutical companies are getting rich big time off of this. The governments are getting praised big time off of this. Now the governments can just tell people what to do. And see, people don't understand about this vaccine thing. It ain't just a vaccine. It's also about control. And see, they exercise it by telling you where to go, what places to go, what places you better not go, and all that stuff. Then, on top of that now, you got a president here who wants to penalize you by making you suffer because you won't take a vaccine that does not cure you or prevent you from catching it or prevent you from spreading it. He wants you to take it, not caring, even though the CDC many times been lying to him, not caring that Everybody can't take that stuff in their body. Some of them have taken them shots, and as soon as they took them shots, my God, their organs and stuff stopped failing then. But the CDC come up with a lie and said that ain't where they came from. They already had pre-existing medical problems there, and the CDC got to tell you that, because if they do tell you the whole truth, then you're back to square one. Oh, we don't have a cure. Just like when the corona first hit real bad here last year, okay? And all did not know what to do. They didn't. They didn't know what to do. And the government said, hey, we got to come up with something, because if we don't, these folks going to kick our door down. Amen. God bless you, brother.
God bless you, brother.
Amen. God bless. Good to hear from you. I've just been doing my second and final part on pestilence in the end time, and giving people the word of God. Let them know that what Jesus told us in Matthew 24, the pestilence is part of the judgment. Okay? I do know people don't want to hear that, brother, but that's the truth. Okay? And
what?
The judgments is not for the believers. But if the so-called believers decide they want to get on the path of sin and iniquity, what sin attracts would attract and hit them too. Now, God had me to do both sides, brother. You know, not
okay.
Just hit unbelievers. But see, you got some Christians who think that because they're professing to be a Christian, but they're going out there still living the sinful and iniquity lifestyle, that they're supposed to be exempt from these things. But there is nowhere in the scripture that the Lord changed sin and the condition of sin because you got saved. So sin is still sin, even if you're saved. So when that unbeliever is out there committing homosexuality and that so-called professing Christian is committing it, it's an abomination in the sight of God, no matter who doing it. And therefore, it's going to draw the consequences. And guess what? It's attached to the sin. So we have been talking about the pestilences, and I've been going through what Jesus is talking about in the end times. I did on the famines, the earthquakes, the pestilence now. And the Lord say the same tomorrow. I'll be started on the persecution, which I know that's a lovely subject for many people, especially many who say we will be gone any day now. And I have to say that. So pestilences, brother, is part of the judgments. If you go back and look, example, it's in Exodus, where that the Lord told the children of Israel, I'm going to bring y'all with great judgments. But remember, he had Moses to speak the pestilences and the judgments to hit who? Pharaoh and Egypt. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And there are people, who, you know, believers who said, well, this is why we're going to be gone, because with these pestilences here, we're going to be gone. I said, well, here's what you fail to understand, that God can keep you while you're here when the pestilence arise. He kept the children of Israel. He put them in a holy place and told them, said, you put the blood on the doorpost. Okay? He did not rapture them out. He didn't take them off the earth when the death angel came through. He didn't take them off the earth when all the frogs and the water turned to blood and the lice and all that hit the animals and killed the animals. He didn't snatch them up, but he kept them in a preserved place.
Yeah.
Okay? A consecrated place. He kept Noah in a consecrated place. When he brought the flood, he did not snatch Noah off the earth. This is why he said, as in the days of Noah. And you have some saying we can be gone any day because of these tribulation and stuff that we hit is not for the God's people. I said, well, that's true. It's not for God's people. But he's not going to snatch you up. What is he going to do is put you in a place of preservation, what he has called a holy place. That's what he did with the children of Israel. Okay? That's what he's going to do with his children today. So with these pestilences happening, this is why he said, see that you are not troubled. He said, I'm going to tell you what's coming, what's going to happen. He said, but see, that's why he was talking to his followers. He said, be not troubled. He said, these famines going to hit. These pestilences going to hit. He said, these earthquakes going to hit. He said, there are going to be wars. He said, there are going to be killings. He said, but see that you're not troubled, which means that God said, I got you. I got you. I got you. I'm going to have you in a place where you're going to be kept. And even though this stuff going on around you, just like I said in Psalms, it will not come near your dwelling. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Brother, I think I like that part. I think I like that part. It won't come near your dwelling. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I think I love that part, brother, because he said it. I wish that I would be snatched up, but we not. But this is what I know. You will be kept. However, the other side is this. If you're professing to be a Christian, but you still want to live the sinful lifestyle and iniquity, this pestilence will hit you. Okay?
Oh.
Because the sin draws it. That's what's drawing these judgments. It's the sin.
Okay.
People didn't want to talk about that Katrina when it hit New Orleans. Well, if you know what was going on in the Mardi Gras, they were doing all kinds of voodoos and hoodoos and you-doos and all kind of dudes.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Been doing it for years. Okay?
For years.
So, brother, where's the true, where the true believers at speaking up on this issue? Where's the true believers crying and sounding the alarm? Where are we? I mean, do we get on a boat and leave? Where are we at?
Well, we don't want to upset nobody, brother. We want everybody to think everything going to be a smooth sailing and good times and money. And so we want to tell them about judgments and pestilence that upset people.
Oh, okay, well. So we're going to compromise.
We don't want...
Okay. Okay.
Well, they don't believe in the fiery judgment, they say, because a better part of Christianity has come up with the answer to all of this pestilence that have begun already and a beginning and going to increase, because they come to a solution. And they come up with an answer some, I don't know, 40 years ago. They started coming up with this solution because they said in the night from the 1920s and to up to the 40s and 50s, they was teaching the different methods. But after the 50s, they come up with the solution, how are we going to endure all of this difficulty coming? So they came up with this solution, says, we got it. We're going to be raptured out, taken away for all this fiery tribulation come and trouble come. So that's the solution they came up with.
Wow. Okay, well, I say to them that, you know, if we were supposed to be snatched up, you know, Jesus did something that was in vain, because if I'm in heaven, why would I want to know about the stuff that's going on down here?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we haven't read nowhere in the scriptures that people in heaven are sad, depressed, walking around, worried about their loved ones here on earth. You don't read nothing like that. I mean, ain't nobody up there sad, depressed, disturbed, need to go to the heaven clinic. Ain't none of that going on up there. So if I'm up there in heaven, why would I want to know about its wars down here, diseases, sicknesses, you know, famines? I mean, brother, me personally, that would make me depressed to be in heaven and to hear that stuff. I would get depressed.
But none of that can exist in heaven. Nothing that on the earth, there was a curse, worries, trouble, distress, memories of evil and wickedness and righteousness. That doesn't exist in heaven. It can't exist. It can't exist in the presence of God, in the New Jerusalem. That old has passed away. So they're not going to the heavenly psychiatrist. Okay? They don't need no drops to thinking about, you know, the things that are going on the earth. That's past. They're entering into their eternal home, and they have no trouble, mind, thoughts, dismay, sorrow, or grief. It can't exist in heaven. It doesn't exist. It can't exist in the presence of God. It only can exist on the earth.
Well, to a great degree. So these pestilence that Jesus spoke of, as Daniel the prophet had told us about beforehand in Isaiah, and Jesus really laid it out on the line, very clear, that this sorrow and grief that's coming is ordained for a purpose, and the Christians, the believers, the true believers, need not fear or worry. So why are they not to worry or to be disturbed? Well, they couldn't figure this out, how we're going to be kept during this time of great tribulation. So they couldn't figure this out. So in the 1960s, a lady came up with this answer, and everybody kind of, well, not everybody, bought into it. I know we're going to be snatched out. But so far, we haven't been snatched out.
No, we haven't. And it, brother, it sounds beautiful. I mean,
yes.
I mean, listen, I would be lying to you if I didn't tell you that, if I told you that it didn't sound good. That sounds good. It sounds lovely.
Yeah.
It sounds like something I would like to be involved in. Come on, Lord, when I go outside and go to work, you feel like this today, go ahead and snatch it. Let my car roll, hit a tree, hit the bridge, whatever. I ain't studying my car because he can't go up there and the car can't do nothing for me. I'm up in heaven. I would love that. But however, it's not going to happen that way. Jesus was not talking to sinners when he told her about pestilence going to be here, because the Bible tells us that the natural man cannot discern the things of the spirit. Okay?
Yeah.
So he was not talking to sinners. He was talking to his disciples, his followers. Okay?
Right.
Born-again believers that he was warning something that was to happen from generation to generation all the way up to the return of Christ. Okay?
Yeah.
Because some people say, oh, they had floods way back then and they had plagues. I said, true, but it was just not confined to back then. I said, you got to remember, the word of God goes throughout generations. Okay? So when he spoke it, it wasn't just confined to one generation. It was to go through generations until the return of Christ. Okay? Like you said,
absolutely,
brother, I've heard them try to come up with different solutions. How we going to manage this? And they say, hey, that word he spoke in Matthew, he was just talking to the Jews. I said, come on, people. I said, let's stop this. Now, we got to stop this. I said, we got to stop this. We've got to stop this bad. Okay? Because it just got off. Okay? And the dangerous thing is that there are some people who are professing Christians who have their whole hope wrapped around that teaching. Their whole heart, brother, they be ready to fight you if you say otherwise. These folk will quit speaking to you on the street. You know, they will quit talking to you. They'll pass you by and won't wave, probably hit a puddle of water so it can splash on you on the side of the road if you sit up there and say, we're going to be here. If you say those words, okay? Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Glory be to
Hallelujah.
God.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
Amen.
When you ask them all these examples all the way through the scriptures that's given as a parallel, and you go from the beginning of the era, God's people, Israel, all the way through, giving us an idea that we come to the last generation that we're living in. Christ tells us down to the last dispensation and generation, the church age, and then he takes us further down to the last generation. He speaks about Matthew's. He brings it down to a very close period. He said, this generation, talking about the last generation, shall not pass away until all of these things are fulfilled. Now, where are the people of God? Where are the redeemed? Where are they going to be? Well, he told us about that too. But we have kind of mixed it up a little bit because we don't want to be here. I understand. And then we can't figure out how can God keep you through all this fiery cleansing and judgment. Well, that's just too hard for God. God, it's too hard for God. He can't keep us during that time, bro. It's too hard. The only way he has to take us out because it's too hard for God, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're absolutely correct. I mean, and I'm with Jesus on this one. I don't know what else I can tell you. If I tell you in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. I mean, if I told you that's how it's going to be, and you look at Noah, now we're talking about a flood over the whole earth, okay?
Yeah.
And you look at Noah, and he ain't taken out nowhere, okay? This man is in the midst of a flood over the whole earth, not over Saudi Arabia or parts of Egypt, none of that. We're talking about the whole, the Lord said the world, the earth, boom, hey.
Right.
Taking it out.
That Jesus prayed in John 17. He gives us a clue, indication about the victory of the believers in the end time and the last generation. He said, I pray not that the Lord take you, he said, in his 17th chapter. He said, I'm praying that you, the Lord don't remove you, but that you be kept from the evil.
Wow.
So we're going to be kept. I pray that you take them not out, but that you keep them from the evil. So he's able to keep us and deliver us and preserve us. If you think that's too hard for him to do, too difficult, go back to Daniel and the three Hebrew boys, how he delivered them and preserved them. Was that too hard for him to do?
Wow. Jesus must have messed up, brother. I mean, if he going to pray that you're not taken out and you just be kept, and we're talking about we can be gone any day for the great tribulation, well, then Jesus messed up. Somebody messed up somewhere. I mean, but I think I'm gonna go on Lord's side. You know, he's the creator. You know, he got the upper hand in this situation. So I'm gonna have to go on his side and have to say the man messed up and got it wrong. I just got to do that, brother. I'm sorry, I can't go with man. I got to go with Jesus. Hallelujah. I got to go with him. He number one. Amen. Hallelujah.
In Noah's day, he gave us two parallels. He said, as it was in the days of Noah, pay attention. And he says in Luke 17, as it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. So he gave us two pictures how they were delivered. Now, in the days of when he rained destruction, Lot was put to a city of refuge. He was led to a place of refuge where the fire and destruction did not place. So it's talking about a place, a actually place, and a two things in a consecrated, dedicated life and a consecrated place that you'll be in to be preserved. Just as it was unto Lot, just as it was in the days of Noah, they were preserved and delivered over the flood.
Yep. Amen. And you know, and I told the people, brother, you know, and this is the part where even if you're professing to be a Christian, if you want to live in sin, the judgment hits you. Now, just think about it for a minute, brother. If Noah decided and said, you know, me and God talks, and I know he told me to build an ark, but I really ain't got to build that ark. I think that when the flood comes, he going to come up with something else to protect me. I ain't got to build because we talk. You know how we've been reading the story? We've been reading the story. Noah got a word from God, but the flood took him out because he wouldn't build an ark. That's a story we've been reading. Okay? Because he had this, he walked with God, he still had to obey God. Okay? Even though he walked with God, he still had to obey. He could not at any time say, well, you know, I just ain't going to build an ark. I think I'd be okay. Me and God got a good thing going on, got a good conversation, we talk well. And, if I don't feel like building it, I think he still keep me because that's the kind of God he is. Once again, the story would have been different, okay? But it would have been a different story.
Sure. Understand this. When he planned, he made a way of deliverance in the ark.
Right.
A door, one door to the ark. There was one door that you had to come in through in order to be delivered for the judgment that's coming upon the earth, upon all the earth. Noah was righteous in his generation. He was found perfect and righteous, and he had an assignment to warn everybody that in the ark they would be delivered. The ark, of course, represents us being hid in Christ and covered in Christ. That's the ark of safety and ark of deliverance, the gospel. Under his wings we trust. So Noah entered into his deliverance plan and made a way of deliverance that he would be delivered over the flood. When it hit to the earth and the whole earth was filled with the judgment up to the sky, always up to every highest mountain. But he and the eight, under the complete plan of obedience, and he built the ark, which is a type of deliverance and preservation. And he built it specifically, meaning you have to specifically avoid the things that are going to sink the ark, which was sin and iniquity and disobedience. And so those that entered in were delivered. And it rained 40 days and 40 nights. And Lord was able to preserve them. Wow.
Amen. 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 We have to warn people of this. And once again, Jesus was answering the threefold question of his disciples. When shall these things be? What is the sign of your coming? When is the end of the world? And he answered it by telling them events and things that will happen. He didn't come out and say October the 15th, 2042. Mm-hmm. He didn't do that. I know a lot of times, brother, we want dates. We want numbers.
Yeah.
You know, that's what we want from God. We don't want to hear about, you know, the cow going to look to the moon. We don't want to hear that. We want to hear a number. We want a date.
Yeah.
And see, Jesus, many times he don't give dates. He give you events. He tell you this is going to happen. That's going to happen.
Yeah.
And so we're supposed to be spreading the true message of warning and warning the people about the things that is happening, okay? We should be the calmest people on earth. I'm talking about Christians. We should be the calmest, because why? We have the word of God. We have a leg up on the sinners because we have the warning, okay? We got the warning with us. In the books, in the house, grabbing dust, we got the warning, okay? We should be the calmest people on this earth, okay? They should be looking at us and saying, what is it about y'all, man? This stuff hidden, and, man, y'all drinking coffee, and you drinking tea, eating potato chips. You know, we over here, we putting our hair out, and we hurting ourselves. This stuff hidden. What's up with y'all? But see, they can't fully say that, brother, because some of us is doing just like them. We're doing like them.
Walking in fear and a troubled heart. Now, if we only hope is fear, and then we like the world who have no covering and no real hope from on high. But if the saints who don't know, the promise of God is sure that he'll not forsake us but keep us during that hour. Revelation said he'll keep us during that hour that should be upon all the earth. Well, if he's going to keep us during that hour, that it's going to fill the whole earth. And he said he'll keep his people in that hour. And then Isaiah says 26, that we should be spared and be delivered from that indignation. He'll hide us. Isaiah said he's going to hide us, 26, during that, which is threefold. He's going to hide us in the secret place of the Most High. Well, I think man come up with a better plan, good men, prophetic men, wonderful people who came up with a good idea that, I tell you, we're going to be taken out before, but yet from 1967, when Israel, the time clock is, you can measure the time clock. God gave us a particular time. He said, when Israel is back in the land, Israel got restored fully into the land in 1967. Daniel, tell us the time clock. When Israel is back in the land after 2,500 years, he says, when you see this sign that Israel is placed as a sovereign nation completely, fully occupying Jerusalem again after over 25 years, countdown, I call it the countdown. And he also gives us the signpost, when Israel is restored, I'm going to restore the church world back to the faith that once delivered unto the saints. Now, he gave us a clock time, but he said to his church, no man is going to be given the day or the hour, not even the angels. Not the Son of Man going to know the very day or hour. But I'm going to give you seasons and times that the world don't know, the unrighteous don't see. But I'm going to give you a time clock that I'm coming is near. So when we count down from Israel, 1967, prophetically speaking, came back. It was established in 1948 as a nation, and then they fully occupied Jerusalem in the Six-Day War, which Daniel tells us about, in 1966. Then he said, measure time from that downward about certain things that happened. But now you see, we're still here, and one generation has passed away, 1967. Over 50 years has passed. Now, we haven't been taken out because people say all this trouble, the little plagues and earthquakes. The earthquake has increased 100-fold. When Jesus said earthquakes will come, he's not talking about the normal earthquakes that are happening over the century. He said the earthquake is going to fill the earth. These earthquakes are 100-fold. These whirlwinds are increasing 100, 200, 300-fold. That's what he's talking about. They're going to fill the whole earth with fear. That's the kind of trouble that he's talking about. The person is going to be very fearful to those that is not walking in the secret place.
Amen. And you're absolutely right, brother, because, you know, he gave the warning. But at the same time, he said, Stephen, you're not trouble. You know? And we didn't think, brother, I thought Cap went like this. Wait a minute, Jesus, you telling me this stuff? How are you going to tell me not to be trouble? Well, if he told you not to be trouble, that means he got you. I mean, when he tell you this stuff and this stuff and this stuff going to happen, see that you be not trouble.
Right.
You know, I got you. But he said, I'm telling you this, number one, so you can know what's going to happen. Number two, so you can warn others.
Right.
Because, see, God loves the sinner man, too. So he wants you to warn them. Okay? Now, what they do with the warning, that's up to them. But he loves them enough to say, I'm going to tell y'all what's going to happen. I want y'all to go tell the world. I want you to go tell the people this stuff is going to come. Yeah, I know they're telling one another that things is going to get better on this earth, everything, just like they talk about the corona. Oh, we're going to go back to being normal. I said, nope. I said, no way. I said, this is a change, people. It ain't going to be the kind of normalcy that you thought at one time. That ain't coming like that. This has been a change. So I know the world telling one another, oh, it's going to get better on this earth and stuff like that. And the Lord is having his people to say, you got to go warn them. Got to go warn them.
Yes, because God does not contradict his nature. See, his nature is mercy and compassion because he doesn't want anyone, the scripture, he doesn't want anyone to be destroyed. He does not delight in the judgment or destruction of them. He say, don't delight in judgment. Now, and so he must warn because he loves and he's a just God. And if he didn't warn the people, he wouldn't be a just and a merciful God. Therefore, he always has to send a warning to prove that he has not contradicted his nature, that I'm a just, a righteous, and mercy and compassionate God, as it was in the days of Noah, I gave him 120 years, and show you that my kindness and mercy is unto the unjust and the righteous, because I'm not willing to be destroyed. He said in Noah's day, my heart is broken that I made man. Why? Because he sorrowed that he had to destroy the earth. He said, it repented me. He said, I'm so sorry that I made mankind because now I got to destroy them. So he's not at any time delighting to destroy, but he's seeking to save. So that's why he has to warn, because he can't do anything in earth until the warning comes because of his mercy. He has to warn. He cannot move until a waking and a warning has come. That is the side of God that does never contradict, because he's a God of mercy, kindness, and compassion, and a just God.
Amen. And you're absolutely correct, brother. That's what in the message we have to tell the people. And to a degree we have failed. But it's not over yet.
Yes.
My thing is that, you know, that's the message we gotta spread. I mean, I don't care. They make fun of you and talk about you. You have to give that message, because it's not just about you being made fun of, but it's about the love that the Lord has for them, that he wants them to be warned. Now, once again, what they do with the warning people, you can't do nothing about that. You can only do like Paul, shake the dust off your feet and go on. Okay? You can't do, once you give the warning, ain't nothing else you can do. I mean, so I said it to those of you that's listening, quit pulling your hair out, because you warned little Johnny and told little Johnny, and little Johnny's still doing the same stuff. Little Johnny decide he wants to keep on, that's his decision. Okay? You didn't warn him. Shake the dust off your feet and go on, okay? We can't, you know, that's why some of us, we stop going on missionary work. We got a door slam in the face, or we told somebody to warn and they cuss us out. We don't want to go back out no more. That's it. Well, man, I can't take that, Brother Lee. I ain't going back out there no more, Brother Lee, man. I can't take that, you know.
No. I experienced that in the early days. I learned a lot from this group of people called the Jehovah Witness. I learned a lot about their dedication. Dedication is a strange thing. The Islam, dedicated Islam, they're so dedicated to Allah, they will lay down a lot and blow up a whole place just in a holy wall so they can go to paradise, they think. They're so dedicated. Islam and Muhammad, Prophet, they will blow themselves up plane or in a bomb. That's how dedicated. That's what we're witnessing. All these years, people slammed doors in their face and cursed them, get away from my door. They just kept coming. They just kept coming.
Amen.
I learned something about commitment and dedication from them, even though I don't believe in their doctrine or their foundation, but their dedication and their commitment to their cause demonstrate a lot of lack in the true believers who many of them are asleep. So the Church of Christ has not fulfilled its mission. It has a particular assignment in the earth. And so we have not adequately fulfilled that assignment about wake-up call, because Noah had a midnight cry, and now we are given a midnight cry.
Amen. Amen. Glory be to God. Brother, I want to ask you, as I get ready to close this broadcast, if you would, brother, to offer up a closing prayer.
Lord Jesus, we thank you for this great opportunity because of your great love for all the mankind. Every person, we know you do not delight in judgment, but you delight in mercy. He that has ear. So the awakening must come because of your love. Your warning must come. You must awaken because you're not willing that any be lost. But Jesus, you are a just and a holy God. And you must fulfill your righteous judgment to those that iniquity and sin is a cup runneth over. So awaken your people. Touch their hearts, awaken your people who have the assignment to warn the world. Help us to get on our job, be more consecrated and diligent, and move quickly to win all mankind. And awaken them, because your justice and judgment is coming in the earth, they may escape through mercy and your compassion and come to you today as their Savior, Lord, and Deliverer. Save to the uttermost and lead us to the secret place under your wings that no evil shall come nigh us, that we be preserved when the hour of judgment is filling the earth and the redeemed of the Lord in the secret place and the world look on them and say they have been kept and preserved. What kind of God are you serving? So make your decision today, sinner, weak, carnal Christians, repent, humble yourself, and ask the Lord to bring you all the way in a plan of deliverance. He loves you, says save to the uttermost. He will save to the uttermost and direct your steps. Be blessed. We love you.
Amen.
And we give you this warning.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Amen.
We are grateful for another blessed broadcast. Thank God for you, brother, coming on tonight. We were able to share this word with those that are listening. For those of you listening, don't forget tomorrow night, the Lord said the same. We will be back with another broadcast. Look for the advertisement on tomorrow. So once again, as for Brother Lee, this is Brother Nate. We love you. God bless you and God keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless, brother.
Amen. God bless.